The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Aaron Kornfeld. He's Group Vice President, Pre-Sales Engineering, Public Sector, Healthcare, and Higher Education. You've got a lot of stuff on your plate, Aaron, don't you?
I do, but it's very, very exciting.
I could maybe do one part of healthcare, maybe. I mean, that's a whole lot of information. And Aaron, of course, works for a company called Oracle. And the reason I wanted Aaron to come in the studio today is I was out in San Francisco last month, and if you just walk around San Francisco, you get the feeling that, you know, Oracle's made a big impression on this town and this area. And it dawned on me on the flight back. I said, I haven't had Oracle in the studio in a while. Maybe I ought to get a hold of them and get them in the studio and talk about what Oracle means for my federal IT professionals, for my listeners. And so that's the whole idea here, Aaron. This is no ambush survey. This is no, hey, when was the last time you did this or that? It's okay, what's new with Oracle? How can Oracle help my listeners? And maybe what are the takeaways or the action points my listeners can get from this interview and maybe learn stuff about Oracle that they don't, or maybe they're making assumptions about Oracle that aren't valid assumptions in some of the decisions they have to make in the next few years. But before I ramble on endlessly, tell us about your background, Aaron, how you wound up working for Oracle.
Sure. Thanks, John. Yeah, great to be here. I've really worked with Oracle products really over the whole 25 years of my career. You know, started out in consulting, went to the first application service provider, the first real cloud provider back in 2000, and, you know, ended up here at Oracle about 5 years ago. So I like to say Oracle's in my blood, and, you know, we really appreciate you and bring us on here today, and obviously want to talk about everything that Oracle can do for customers.
Truth in advertising here. A few years back, I worked for a Microsoft partner, and I was over at the Microsoft office. These are the years when Microsoft was throwing chairs and yelling and screaming, and Oracle, and I don't know, maybe they had, you know, armies going against each other on the West Coast there. And what the funniest part was is that they were using an Oracle database.
Well, I think if you look out there, there's a lot of people using Oracle databases.
I mean, yep. What you might find is you might find company A yelling and screaming, Oracle, or a bunch of scoundrels, and they're using Oracle databases. It's just amazing how all-encompassing Oracle has been over the years. I know they've been around since, you know, the early 70s, but my goodness, they're in so many different organizations, you know, 20 of the top 20 top global governments, Oracle, 15 of the 15 federal cabinet ministers, Oracle, 15 of the 15 United States, Oracle, 20. I can do this all day. I mean, yep. It's pervasive, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think people think of us as a database company, but really, if you look at us over the last 10 or 15 years, we've really expanded what we do really to everything in IT. So, you know, you may know that back in 2010, we purchased Sun Microsystems. All of a sudden, we got into the hardware business. We're in the applications business. We're in the middleware business. You know, we're all over the government. Like you said, most of the agencies, just about all of them, use our stuff in one way or another. And, you know, for me, working with public sector customers all the time, it's really exciting because the work that we do really affects the day-to-day lives of citizens out there, of people. You know, just about every system we use as consumers of government services is based on Oracle in one way or another.
We were sitting in the green room a few minutes back. We talked about a friend of mine who works at the FAA, had lunch with him a couple weeks back, and just dawned on me that he may be sitting on an Oracle database somewhere and doesn't know it. Or
absolutely.
They may be presented with a problem. They go, hey, Joe, here's the problem. You have to do X, Y, and Z. And by the way, it's got to go in the cloud. And these are your choices. And tell me when it's done in 2 months. He may not realize that he could have a whole bag of tools there that he's sitting on that doesn't even know it exists. Oh, maybe he could take the Oracle system that he has access to and accomplish the task with that. And that's why you're here. It's like, oh, geez, he didn't know that. And if he didn't know that, I'm sure there's lots of listeners that don't.
And that's what we find is that, number one, there's lots of folks who've made a great investment in Oracle, and we appreciate that. Number one, they're not using a lot of what they've already bought. And number two, they don't realize that all the things that they could do using our technology. And, you know, you mentioned the cloud. The cloud for us is a huge push. It's where we're going with all of our products. You know, I like to say we have 9,000 plus products out there. And really now our goal is to get all 9,000 of those out in the cloud, make them consumable in the cloud on a subscription model or on premise, if that's what you need. And obviously for government, public sector and federal in particular, you know, oftentimes it's a combination of both. It's not just one or the other.
I got up early this morning and started reading articles about Oracle, and your CIO is a guy named Mark Sunday, which is an easy name to remember. And here's a great – this is a quote from 2 weeks ago from Mark Sunday. He's going to make sure that Oracle is transformed to a cloud-first company. And somebody could argue that, you know, they're there already or something. I mean, the cloud-first company, it's not what you think of Oracle. You think of big databases, serious big boy pants, serious hard business. But it's becoming a cloud company. Hmm?
We absolutely are a cloud company. I mean, internally, we use all our own cloud stuff, our help desk for every organization within the company. And of course, you know, we're in 130 plus different countries all around the world, selling all sorts of products and services to lots of folks. But our help desk for all of those is utilizing our internal cloud. Our internal financials and ERP is using our internal cloud. Our products, in fact, the development organization uses our platform as a service to do all their development on. And for us on the sales side of things and on the engineering side of things, you know, we're all about using our cloud tools to, you know, again, get out there, find the customers, help them figure out what they need and help them to move forward.
Oracle has been around for many, many years, and so have I. Back in the 90s, I was an active member of a local PC user group. That sounds pretty strange. There's 700 members. And they'd get 700 people in a room, and they would talk about personal computer issues. But there's, I'm trying to get around, there's user groups for all kinds of different. There's user groups for all kinds of products, all kinds of companies. There's user groups for Oracle.
Absolutely.
And I was reading an article this morning, and the user group said, you know, we used to just get together and try to solve real complex problems because everyone had different systems and different silos and figuring out. But what's happening now is that Oracle is trying to ask us what we think. And I said, big dog Oracle, the big building and the big, I mean, you see them in movies. I mean, these big buildings are in movies. They're like a monolith.
It's impressive.
So they're sitting down and they're going, hey, maybe we don't know everything, and going to user groups and saying, hey, tell me some stuff. This is a change, a sea change, I'd say.
No, I think we listen to our customers all the time. I myself run a number of customer advisory boards. I sit on those. We have, again, the Oracle user groups. There's thousands around the world. We bring those folks in. We listen to them. We go to their conferences. We hear what they're looking for. I mean, at the end of the day, our products are really driven by customer needs. Now, that being said, you know, people like Mark Sunday, people like Thomas Kurian, our president of development, frankly, people like Larry Ellison, you know, they're obviously looking down the road to see where things go. And, you know, if you look back 5 years, they said, hey, things are going to the cloud. That's where we're moving. And that's why we're taking all of our products to the cloud. And now, you know, we're the only ones out there with a complete ERP suite, with a complete HR and HCM suite, with a complete planning and budgeting suite, a marketing cloud, a customer experience cloud, a social cloud, all of those pieces together. And for us, you know, when we look at the cloud, it's about being broad. It's about having all those pieces and making sure that our customers can use them in one integrated package. You know, we're not someone who just goes after one segment of the market. So from our perspective, we're trying to get all of the software as a service applications, all of the platform as a service services, and all of the infrastructure as a service. So you can buy all of those in one piece from Oracle, pre-integrated and ready to actually do your business on, whatever your business may be.
And I think we all know that there's been a, go back to the sea change, I think Larry Ellison and his boat and everything else in the sea change. And the problem is this, I mean, if you have an organization with 130,000 people, you just don't snap your fingers and go, okay, everyone's going to wear green socks tomorrow, or everyone's going to focus on the cloud. And so look at the organizations that are listening to the show, Department of Defense, Department of huge, big organizations, and people are writing outside of town going, well, why didn't the DOD change on a dime? Well, human beings, you can't change on a dime. What we see happening, though, is that we see big changes in Oracle, and they're starting listening to customers, and they're starting to adapt and move. But once this, you know, once a big boat starts moving in the water, then it really does make serious changes, and it can help our listeners,
absolutely,
especially the federal world, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's, to me, again, I'm part of the engineering team for public sector. You know, my folks are the deep dive technical experts who can go in and make the technology or the application sing, right? So I tell our folks, it's our job to get in there with customers, whether they're federal, state, and local, whatever they are, and show them how they can adapt, move at their own pace. Because we realize, you know, if you're a big federal agency or if you're a federal service center, you're not going to shift over to the cloud tomorrow. But how can you take those incremental steps? For example, if I have HR, maybe I want to have recruiting or talent management in the cloud as add-on pieces. Well, at Oracle, we're delivering that talent, that recruiting that you can then integrate with your core on-premise HR system.
Let's take a break, come back. We can talk about, I heard Tony Scott give a talk yesterday, talk about some of the concepts, some of the directions he's heading for the federal government, and find out if Oracle can help align our listeners with achieving some of Tony Scott's goals. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have in the studio this morning Aaron Kornfeld. He's Group Vice President at Oracle. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Aaron Kornfeld. He's a Group Vice President at a company called Oracle. I don't even have to spell that. People know how to go to oracle.com, get more information. And the reason I have Aaron in the studio is just to remind people that, hey, Oracle's got a whole lot more going on than you might realize. And if you are, if your boss is twisting your arm to go to the cloud or you have a peculiar problem, you may be sitting on the solution and maybe part of an application program that's new that you don't know about that Oracle offers. And that's what we touched on, huh? I mean, there's a lot of people that have problems and maybe it's sitting in a on the shelf right next to them. They don't even know it.
Yeah, no, I think that's especially true. You know, one of the hot topics these days is around cybersecurity, right? So if you look at cybersecurity and protecting data and protecting assets, you know, we have a lot of customers out there who use the Oracle database. Well, what they don't know is that there's a real simple option inside the Oracle database called Advanced Security, which allows you to turn on encryption, to encrypt your data at rest, encrypt your data in motion, allow you to do redaction on that data so that when somebody selects a social security number out of the database, it comes out with the asterisks or the X's as part of their thing. And for most customers who we've got out there, they don't even have to install any software to use that. They just turn it on. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of areas out there that my folks, when we go out and talk to customers, show them the types of things that they could be doing, and frankly, that they should be doing with our products. You know, there's a lot out there that take very, very little effort to actually turn on.
I'm in the classroom all the time, and when I'm in a classroom full of 30-year-olds, and I can tell them very little. What I can do is can suggest, well, here's an option, here's another option, here's another option, and you may want to consider this in achieving your goals down the road.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, when you're in a room full of federal CIOs or some, you know, IT professionals, you know, they're all going to be pretty smart. All I can say is, well, you know, if you're encountering a situation down the road where you have to move to the cloud and you want to comply with Tony Scott's move for protecting assets, you may want to consider this. Did you know it's a switch? I mean, this is, you have to present it this way, I think, huh?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I mean, whether it's security there or, as you said, that move to the cloud, you know, at Oracle, we've recently, actually now it's been almost 2 years ago, but we've launched our government cloud, which is specifically designed for government. We've got our first FedRAMP authorizations in there. And really our cloud, the idea behind it is that you can take the products that you already own today and move them seamlessly back and forth from on-premise to the cloud and back. So if you've got an Oracle database or you're running WebLogic or a Java application, you can take those same databases, those same WebLogic applications, and literally move them from on-premise to the cloud to a secured environment where all of a sudden, instead of having to have your own IT staff on board, you know, you can let it run in our cloud where we take care of the patching for you, we take care of the maintenance, we take care of running it for you, all in a cloud and subscription model.
Well, that's what some people would define as a platform as a service, wouldn't they? I mean,
that's
take
right.
That, take those last 5 minutes and record those and go, when someone, what's PAA? Well, here's what it is. It's just what you just said, isn't it?
Well, and for us, platform as a service means a whole lot of things. So yes, again, people think of Oracle as a database company. So of course we have database as a service. Some people don't know that we own the Java programming language. We own WebLogic, which is an application server for Java. So we have Java as a service. But we also have a document cloud, a business intelligence cloud, an integration cloud, a process cloud service that allows you to create forms online and route them around and get approvals and things like that. Very soon, Larry Ellison, our CEO, actually now our chief technology officer and executive chairman, as well as Thomas Kurian, our president of development, are going to be announcing really 24 new platform as a service products very soon. So things like big data, things like a mobile cloud service, all of those pieces together. Again, when it comes to the cloud, we're not trying to be a one-trick pony. We're trying to provide a complete solution that folks can use to run the applications they have or build new applications and ultimately make them more agile.
So stay tuned. Right now, we're kind of giving you a little tease, a warm-up to what's going to be revealed here this summer from Oracle. So my question is, you know, I was in an audience with Tony Scott, and he was speaking, and felt like I sat down next to him. He's a good speaker. And he talked about three things. He talked about value, digital services, and protecting assets. And so my question to you is how can Oracle help my listeners achieve those three goals? I mean, we talked about protecting assets. What about value? It's got to be expensive to move to the cloud. Is this where the play is with Oracle? Is that, you know, it's going to cost you X amount to move to the cloud. If you just stay within the platform of Oracle, it can save money. I guess that's where the value is.
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, for us, value comes in a number of different areas. Number one, what's the value of being able to move those applications and those technologies that you already have to the cloud and all of a sudden have someone keep them up to date in patching, do the security for you, take care of all the physical assets for you? So that's one piece. But second is, if customers want to move their applications to the cloud, we actually have a program called Customer to Cloud, which allows customers to take those applications that they have. For example, some people may not know that we sell and own PeopleSoft, we own eBusiness Suite, we own JD Edwards, we own Siebel, all of those kind of traditional on-premise applications that you think of. You know, we have this Customer to Cloud program that allows you to take and get value out of those, but move to some of the newer cloud products that have recently become available. So that's a big piece of it there too. And then if you mentioned digital services, you know, for us, digital services, citizen experience are huge. So one of our biggest offerings and one of our most successful offerings in the cloud specifically for public sector is a cloud called the Service Cloud. And what that allows you to do is really set up help desk services, set up online self-service, knowledge management, frequently asked questions, all of those things that can provide tremendous value to a citizen. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like going and sitting in an office waiting to talk to someone. I want to go online or I want to go on my mobile phone and actually get the information myself. So we within the Service Cloud, you can actually take those types of interactions and move them from what typically might be a paper or an on-premise laborious process. And very, very quickly, many of our customers go live in 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, move it to the cloud and start giving that value immediately.
I stumbled on something this morning that I didn't understand. There's a lot of products associated with your company. It's called Oracle Alta, A-L-T-A. What was that? What is that anyway?
Yeah, Alta is actually a user interface framework. So it's about having all of our applications have a common look and feel as they're in the cloud. So, you know, what we're doing is as we roll out new cloud services, as we roll out the administrative interfaces for those cloud services, we've really come up with this Alta framework around, you know, how the screen should be laid out, what they should look like, how they're Section 508 compliant, they have all the accessibility, all of those things. So that's kind of what Alta is about. And what we're doing is we're sharing that with our customers. So as they build extensions to our products, they can make sure that they've got the same look and feel as the products that we have coming out of the box.
Now, it makes sense to me now because Alta in Spanish means high. So this is a high-level perspective. So kind of a little wordplay if you think about it. Now I understand it completely. I thought it was an English word. No, what is it? It's an acronym? No, you idiot. It's Alta. It's a high level view. So it has some similarity between everything else.
That's right.
So we know there's a lot of different aspects to Oracle. And when I think of Oracle, I think of license-based software. To tell you the truth, that's my bias.
Sure.
But what about MySQL? That's under the umbrella too. Now, so I'm trying to categorize. And you go, well, you can't categorize that too easy. MySQL, big player.
People don't know that you know, we're one of the largest open source players out there, MySQL being one of them. You know, obviously all the products around Java, Oracle Linux, all of those pieces that are there. So we regularly, you know, we sit on 400 plus standards bodies. We have a whole bunch of open source products and projects that we contribute to. And, you know, definitely MySQL was one of the products that was acquired during the acquisition of Sun Microsystems. And so, you know, for us, it's a big piece of our portfolio.
Piece of the portfolio here is taking breaks for commercials. We're going to take a break and come back and talk more about Mark Hurd, some of the things he said about the cloud, and maybe talk more about some social media and where people can get more information on a lot of these products. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Aaron Kornfeld. He's Group Vice President at Oracle. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Aaron Kornfeld, Group Vice President, a company called Oracle. Everybody knows Oracle, O-R-A-C-L-E.com. I was there this morning, read a few blog posts, read a few articles. In fact, that's where I got the quote from Mark Sunday about the whole company moving to the cloud. A lot of my listeners listen to this as a podcast. So you can go to the Apple Store and listen to podcasts. Some people like Twitter. Some people like blogs. Is there a blog that you read that maybe my listeners might want to read and learn information? I mean, there's a group that likes blogs. Is there a blog that you read or anything to keep up on new developments with Oracle?
Well, to be honest with you, most of the blogs that I read are around running and things like that.
So that's first honest
sometimes
guy I've ever
a little
heard.
Bit more interesting. But, you know, Mark Hurd writes a number of posts on LinkedIn and on the blogs, as well as Mark Sunday, both really smart guys. And I always find a lot of their stuff interesting. You know, from my perspective, if you go out to blogs.oracle.com, there's probably 1,000 folks out there. And, you know, we've got a Twitter tag cloud at the top of that. So if you're interested in database, if you're interested in middleware, if you're interested in the cloud, you know, we've got a lot of guys from what we call our A team, our architect team, who write really detailed technical stuff about how to use Oracle products, how to integrate it, just some of the tips that, you know, you'd pay a lot of money for, and you can read them right off the blog there for free.
And if you are involved in Twitter, your Twitter handle is at OracleGov, is that
That's
right?
That's right, OracleGov, absolutely.
And so if you have Oracle in your organization, most people do, I'd probably watch the Twitter feed here the next few weeks, see what's going on. You could see a webinar coming up in the next few weeks that you might want to attend or maybe see a recording of and see some of the new products that are popping out. We're doing a tease here in radio. It's called doing a little tease here. Now, I didn't get a tease yesterday when I heard Tony Scott speaking. And he talked about value in digital services and protecting assets and everything else. He also talked about reducing the number of data centers. And, I mean, Oracle's got a whole bunch of data centers. And I think it realizes that reducing them. So how does Oracle fit in that picture of reducing the number of data centers for the federal government?
Sure. So we've been working actually with many of our federal agency partners, customers on this. So, you know, one of the biggest things that we do, that we help customers do, is do consolidation. And consolidation allows you to either close a data center or perhaps not open one that you might need to do. So for us, we have this whole big idea of database as a service and middleware as a service. And we have a set of systems that we call engineered systems. And these engineered systems, like, for example, Exadata, which is a database engineered system, which is designed to run the Oracle database, they've been adopted very widely in the federal government. And what that allows you to do is, you know, maybe before you had 100 different databases on 100 different servers spread out all through the throughout the data centers, now you can take all those 100 different databases from different servers and consolidate them down onto one or a couple Exadata database machines. So many of our federal customers especially have gotten tremendous economies of scale from taking all of these systems and moving them down to one. And what that really means for them is not only the savings in space, not only getting that data center closed or saving that space and freeing up that money for something else, but it also means that, you know, on that system, you've got all of the best practices from Oracle around databases. So whether it's security, whether it's compression, whether it's speed, whether it's smart storage, all of those pieces together, the hardware, the software, the networking, and the storage are all built into that single machine. So when you take all of those different databases, you consolidate them down to one, you actually help meet two of the mandates. One of them is, you know, consolidate your data center. The second is get your stuff up to the right patch levels, get it more secure, just kind of do some of the routine hygiene that a lot of federal agencies, unfortunately, sometimes fall behind on for a number of reasons.
Go back to Tony's remarks. He talked about value digital services and protecting assets. But if you take and reduce the number of data centers, that is going to accomplish those three tasks. And you just almost enumerated one by one.
That's right.
Well, if you have fewer servers, then all of a sudden you don't have to patch 10 systems, you have to patch 4 systems. So that's the value there.
That's right.
You know, Tony's pretty funny. He talked about security, which is, you know, number 3, protecting assets. And he said, well, you know, security is not designed for today's systems. It's kind of like putting an airbag on a 65 Mustang. I had a lot of friends who had 65 Mustangs in the 70s, and they liked their 65 Mustang. But I guess that makes sense. It rather than changing a system completely, maybe moving within a system, I think it might be easier to put an airbag in maybe a 2001 Honda than a 65 Mustang. And so what we're trying to say is, no. Let's put an airbag in a 2014 or 2015 system, and it can be done by reducing the number of data centers and moving within your platform already.
Yeah, I think it's all about, you know, when we talk to customers, especially about security and maintaining their data, we find that oftentimes they have a lot of grand plans to do a lot of different things around the cybersecurity space. But when we really look into it more, we find that they just haven't done a lot of the basics that are there. So have they implemented encryption? Have they implemented segregation of duties so that the DBA, the database administrator who's administering that database, can't look at the data that's inside of it? Have they got the audit trails? Have they got all of the permissions set up? So when we talk to customers, we say, yeah, go for your grand plans, build a lot of systems around it. But even more importantly, just go in there and do what I would really call the basics, you know, of securing your data, securing all the pieces around it, and implementing those process controls, which are actually pretty easy to implement with probably a lot of the Oracle technology that you already have, and, you know, maybe a little bit more that's not that difficult to actually implement.
I was sitting on the deck with my wife last night. We're talking about next year. And I said, well, would you like to go to Hawaii or Europe next year, maybe go to Italy? And she said, I want to go to both.
Perfect. They all sound good.
I said, well, yeah, this is the problem I have is like, I want to go to both. How about going to Rio? I want to go there too. How about going to China? I'd like to go there too. There's a whole long, but you know, we can't afford 2 vacations next year. We can afford maybe Hawaii and maybe if I work at McDonald's on the weekend, maybe we can go to Europe or one of those two, but both, I don't know if we can afford both. And so I think many of my listeners are in the same situation. They're, oh, geez, you know, I got to do this, got to do that, and well, I got to reduce the number. Well, I can do one or the other, but not both. Well, maybe reducing data centers, you can accomplish both. Maybe this is the magic, 2 birds, 1 stone.
That's right. I mean, a lot of federal agencies, when they've done this, when they've implemented these new systems, they've found that, yeah, it knocks everything off. I mean, you mentioned Italy and Europe, but this is more like a staycation, right? You know, I've got my stuff, I've got it right here already, and I can make the best out of it. And maybe the pool in the backyard isn't the same as the sands of Aruba, but nonetheless, it accomplishes some of the same tasks.
Because it's not breaking news, front page, breaking news is that the budgets are getting constricted here, and we know
that's
that.
Right.
Breaking news, bad guys are trying to get, well, we know that too. I mean,
yes.
We know all this is happening. And so if you're in a situation with a reduced staff and a restricted budget, you have to have a certain amount of your budget allocated for maintaining existing systems. Okay, this is all old news, John. Give me something new. Well, maybe there's a way to do it. Maybe there's a way to finagle or leverage what you have now to accomplish some of these goals and do it with a reduced budget. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of creativity out there, and I'll name names. You know, I think there are a lot of young people working for the federal government now who maybe aren't as locked into looking at things in certain ways and maybe can maybe look at things from a perspective that is fresh and creative and saying, well, we already have X, Y, and Z. Maybe if we combine this and that, and it'll allow us to be more secure, which is, I think that's the whole purpose behind getting in here is to say, look, look at this. Why not consider this? It's an option.
That's right. And you know, that's what we do is we go and talk to every customer and say, you know, here are the things that you have. Here are the super simple, low-hanging fruit that you can do that will instantly improve your security posture, allow you to consolidate things better, get you more up to speed. You know, all of that is really important. And then, you know, sometimes I look and say, in addition to the things we have today, and I know we can't afford it all, but what can our roadmap look like? And that's a lot of, I have a bunch of architects on my team who go out to federal customers and state and local customers and start to diagram out that roadmap for customers. So maybe today you're not there, but you know, maybe in the next year, because you've got a big set of retiring workers in your federal agency, you know that recruiting is a key area for you and you want to bring on a bunch of new folks. So, you know, for example, NEXCOM, which is an organization in the DOD that operates a lot of stores throughout all of the DOD installations. You know, every year they have to hire new employees to come and run those stores and operate inside of them. And so, you know, based on what they already had and where they were going, they implemented a whole recruiting cloud service, right? So they didn't have to have new hardware. They didn't have to have new software. They could buy it on a subscription basis. And most importantly, it was, you know, digital service ready. It was up to date. And, you know, new folks coming into the job market who expect a modern experience could actually experience that modern experience and hopefully move into the government and get those jobs faster.
Well, my listeners are going to have to experience a break here. Let's take a break and come back, talk more about some of your personal choices in technology and look at the future of Oracle and the future of the federal government and how they can help some of my listeners achieve some of their goals. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Aaron Kornfeld, Group Vice President at Oracle. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Aaron Kornfeld, Group Vice President at Oracle. He's responsible for many, many areas, pre-sales engineering, public sector, healthcare, and higher education, all kinds of different areas. So he's got a good perspective on how Oracle can help my listeners achieve some of their goals. And we spent the previous block outlining some of the goals that Tony Scott has in mind and reducing them to data centers, of course, talking about protecting assets. And we've been going back and forth on how Oracle can help. Got a big announcement coming up here in June. I just want to tease that so you can maybe follow you folks on Twitter. What's the Twitter handle to follow?
It's OracleGov, @OracleGov.
I would watch that and see what's going on. You could have a webinar coming up in a few weeks you can watch and
absolutely,
and see the wild man talk about his boats or his planes or new products. Hopefully, he's come up with new products to help my listeners save money on moving to the cloud. I mean, that's the name of the show, how to save money and move in the cloud and still keep your job.
I think it's a bunch of platform as a service, so I think he'll hit the nail right on the head
there. Yeah. Speaking of flat, people listening to these interviews all the time, and I talk to them afterwards, and they always go, well, that guy in there, you know, he went to Carnegie Mellon, right? Yeah, he's pretty smart. And he's a master's degree. Yeah, Aaron does have a master's. Well, what kind of phone does he have? And so I started coming up with these questions. These are the questions my listeners are really asking. You know,
the important ones.
Yeah, they're listening to the Oracle interview, and they go, well, but really the important ones are these. So I'm going to come up with these 10 questions and give the listeners a better handle on you and find out if, in fact, Aaron is a card-carrying nerd or not. We'll find out. So first question, do you have an Instagram account?
I do have an account, but I would say there's, I think, only one picture.
I just asked if you have an account. That's the first step of 1,000 miles. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Well, one for my wife, none for myself.
A real nerd. Every six months, you got to get a new one. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, Aaron Kornfeld, one word.
Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
I have opened up Periscope, and honestly, I'm not sure I get it yet, but yes,
it's good that you even know what it is, you know? And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone, a 5S.
What's the most popular app on that 5S?
Well, unfortunately, right now it's probably a tie between United Airlines and Map My Run, where I've been mapping my bike rides.
Map My Run. Well, that's good to know. I've never heard of that one. And we break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we find floating around there?
Three iPads.
Three of them. That's respectable. And what was your most recent post in social networking?
Well, my daughter, I'm going to shout out to her, who won the Husky 1 mile run at her elementary school. So that was on Facebook.
Yeah, that's a good one here. And do you have a mobile fitness device on you anywhere?
I don't have one today, but somebody in the Denver airport has my Fitbit. So
if they could, and they're enjoying
if
it
they
now,
could
huh?
send that back, that'd be great.
That would be good. And the last book you read, was it electronic or was it paper?
It was electronic. My Kindle reader is on the iPad.
Say you're trending towards, you're not really okay. a card-carrying nerd. You're trending that way, okay? So maybe if you shapen up and maybe order an Apple Watch, hey, an Apple Watch, you'd be a lot of points in this studio for being a nerd, you know? And then what, the $17,000 one? I mean, that would be kind of
crazy. Yeah, you know, they're not in stock right now, so I wasn't able to get mine.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I didn't order the 17. It's just not in stock. I was going to write a check,
right.
but it doesn't have it in stock. What's in stock for many of my listeners is announcements from Oracle coming up in the summer here. So give us a hint and intimation of what's going on and how that can help our listeners achieve some of their goals. I mean, we dance around this topic a little bit. What's going on here?
Sure. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a bunch of big announcements from Larry Ellison and Thomas Kurian, our president and chief development officer, all around the cloud and all around platform as a service. So, as I mentioned before, you know, our goal is really to move all of our products to the cloud across all of the different service models. So to have a full SaaS portfolio, whether it's planning and budgeting, HR, CX, ERP, whatever it is in the cloud, to a full platform portfolio. So when I say platform, I mean database, I mean Java, I mean a mobile cloud, a mobile backend cloud service, a integration cloud service that allows you to point and click and integrate cloud systems. I mean, a big data cloud service, an Internet of Things cloud service, an Exadata cloud service. So again, a complete line of platform cloud services, and even more exciting for us in our government cloud, right? So, you know, things coming out first in the commercial cloud and then in the government cloud right after that. And then a whole set of infrastructure services underneath it. But where we think, especially the federal government and our public sector customers need to go, is to either the software as a service component, so they get the functionality that they need right out of the box, or because we do in public sector have a very unique mission in a lot of areas, a platform as a service. Because, you know, if you think about our customers, typically they spend 75 to 80% of their time just keeping the lights on. 20 to 25% of their time on innovation. And so, you know, today they're worried about patching, they're worried about backing up, they're worried about those things. Forget those things and start and allow us to take care of those main mundane tasks for you so that you can start to develop the applications that your particular agency actually needs. And that's what platform as a service is all about.
Earlier in the interview, we talked about 130,000 people at Oracle making this transition to the cloud. It's very difficult. I'll talk about the big elephant in the room here is licensing. So if you're working for Department of Interior and you have license-based software from Oracle,
yep.
I mean, it's almost like the people who have to learn some of these new lessons are going to be the acquisition people. I mean,
that's
I
right.
think the acquisition people have to say, okay, now – we have to change the way we acquire systems. I mean, I think this is a part of it. Technology is one part, but a big part is acquiring, especially for my govies.
It's a big change because it requires different contracts. It requires whole different paradigms. I mean, our cloud products are sold as subscription products. That means, you know, you buy it when you need it, you turn it on, you turn it off, all of those great things. And I mean, the good news is, I think I mentioned earlier, we have this customer to cloud program, which allows customers to move some of their on-premise stuff to the cloud or whatever they want to do there. So we're doing our best to try and help facilitate that. But yeah, it's a whole new construct for many of our customers who aren't used to buying things that way. Because now you're really buying a service. You're not buying a licensed software package like you used to.
So the takeaway from this interview is going to be, yes, Oracle is interested in customers. They're looking for more customer feedback, a big move to the cloud, wide range of offerings, including open source offerings. But I think this licensing issue is really something that has to be hammered through and they have to be aware of making that transition. And my goodness, we've done shows here on acquisition. Not an easy process.
It's one that I personally am glad I am not that involved in. I like the technical side of things, and you know, I'll leave that to our contracts people and things like that. But You know, I think what's really exciting is the fact that, you know, the reason I like working with government and public sector is you do make a difference. You know, the systems that we are involved in are the systems that citizens are using every day. And anything that we can do and my team can do to help get those systems implemented more efficiently and have them more easy to maintain and have them more secure, we want to help with. So absolutely.
Tony Scott mentioned in his talk two-factor authentication. Where do you folks fit in with two-factor authentication?
Yeah, so we actually have a whole suite of identity management products, and one of those products inside identity management is a two-factor authentication system. So, you know, for example, you can use your CAC card or your PIV card, but you can also use, we have a mobile authenticator. So if before maybe you had a little token to do two-factor authentication, now you can get a one-time password on your smartphone or, you know, texted to you that you can use there. So we have a product called Oracle Adaptive Access Manager that allows you to do two-factor authentication, but it also does risk-based authentication as well. So if looking at your IP address, I see you're coming from a country that, you know, maybe we don't think you should be coming from to access this system, then, you know, even if you put the right password in, we're not going to allow you in there based on the risk. So, you know, we're playing a big role there, and there's a lot of federal agencies in particular that are implementing that technology.
You know, when coming up with my notes for this interview, I just jotted down two-factor, and maybe my listeners could be like me. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's like a switch we can turn. Oh, I didn't know I can turn the switch on in that room and control that. I didn't know we can turn the switch on for two-factor. And by the way, it fits in exactly with our system we have now. So I think that's an important to walk away from this interview is that Oracle has a wide range of offerings, and then maybe you should avail yourself of informing yourself of what's available because it could be something that can be valuable in making a transition down the road.
That's right.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Aaron Kornfeld, Group Vice President, Pre-Sales Engineering, Public Sector, Healthcare, and Higher Education. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.